Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. 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 Oh, I'm excited tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm excited for the Word. See, I'm already open the Word. I'm getting into it. I don't even know where I'm going. Praise the Lord. Just start turning, flipping pages. Hallelujah. You know, this book is so full of goodness. Amen. And I was praying about the government, you know, and it was just on my heart as I was seeing that, as I was praying to tell people, you know, even in things like, you know, I remember a time when I thought, you know, even things like voting didn't matter. Your vote don't really matter, all this stuff. I fell into that same garbage thinking. But, you know, it's important that we do, and we will be accountable for that in the time when we stand before Jesus. That's one of the rights that we've been given as Americans. And see, here's the thing. When we vote, even if our vote maybe numerically, sometimes like in our county that we live in, our vote numerically doesn't always work out in our favor. Amen. A lot of times we're outvoted. But you know, that doesn't matter necessarily, because it's not about the actual vote and what we're doing, but it's about what we're releasing our faith on and what we're saying, Lord, this is where we're standing. And we make that statement to the devil. We make that statement to the world, amen, as we do so. And so it's an act of releasing faith, you know what I mean? That we step out and we just believe that our stuff is going to be protected anyways. Because God wants to protect his people. God's always for his people. Praise the Lord. Satan's always trying to put them in bondage. Oh, glory to God. It's the truth. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Praise the Lord. But you know, Satan can try to put us in bondage. He's only going to get us there if we allow him to. But we're not going to be people that allow Satan to put us in bondage. We're going to be people who are free, because that's what Jesus died for. And Jesus didn't die in vain. How do I know? Because I stand before you today. Praise the Lord. I stand before you as a free man. Glory to God. I stand before you as somebody who's been set free from a whole life of all kinds of bondage. And I'm just so thankful for the Lord. You know, he worked a lot of things in me. He's still working things out of me. Hallelujah. But glory to God, we're going to get there one day, aren't we? Praise the Lord. And it's not going to be in the sweet by and by, but we make steps every day towards God's goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight it was on my heart to preach. I'm really excited about this message, actually. I know I get excited about a lot of messages I preach, probably all of them. Amen. But I am really excited about this message. Tonight's message is called Living Spiritually. Praise the Lord. Living spiritually. And this is actually part one. It's going to be at least part two. There's going to be at least two parts. So if you came here tonight, you have to, by default, you have to come next week, or you're not going to get the full story. Amen. And isn't that annoying? And see, this isn't like Star Wars. You don't have to wait 2 years to find out what happens next. Praise the Lord. What happens next, you find out a week later. Hallelujah. So glory to God. But we're going to get into this tonight. It's living spiritually. This is a very important thing. And this is something that's very misunderstood in the body of Christ. And I know in this area, it's very misunderstood. You have two sides of the coin that you see often in the body of Christ. You see the uber spiritual and you see the under spiritual. You see, which would be the uber religious, praise the Lord. But both generally have their extremes for a purpose, and the purpose is to rob the people of God. God wants us to be right down the middle of the road. He doesn't want us to be in the ditch on the left side. He doesn't want us to be in a ditch on the right side. Amen. And so we want to be right down the middle of the road, because when we stay in the middle of the road, we stay balanced. And see, God's word has a lot of amazing things in it. And spiritual living is pretty amazing. I've learned things since I've been in church that I never knew before about spiritual living. Amen. You know, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, we're not talking about some kind of kooky, goofy spirit. We're not talking about like a ghost, ooh, that comes, you know, through floating through the house in the middle of the night or something like that. That's not what we're talking about. The Holy Ghost is part of the body, the Godhead, amen, the three-part being of God. He is an actual person, amen, but he is in spirit form. Now, we know God is in spirit form, and today Jesus is in spirit form. The flesh is manifested through us today, although Jesus came in the flesh, and we knew that, amen. But a lot of people don't understand what it's like to live spiritually. People get religious. A lot of denominations, even though they may have started in good places, have gone to the place of being religious, where they're not spiritual anymore. They're just religion. They just do these things, and most people don't even know why they do them. They take communion, and they don't know why they take communion. They don't really understand what the purpose of it. People get baptized, and they don't really understand what the purpose of baptism is. You know, people do all these different things. They say these things. They read, they recite these prayers and all this stuff, and they have no idea what it really means. Living spiritually is incredibly important. It's something that God gave us to do, and it means a lot. This is where we find the freedom in Christ. This is where the Bible actually works. See, if you try to live according to the word by your flesh, you will never get there. But if you learn to live according to the word by your spirit, you will. Amen? And we also, you know, we believe in moves of the Holy Ghost. I've seen manifestations of the Holy Ghost in my own life. I've had the Lord come on me so strong that I couldn't stand before. I've had hands laid on me and I couldn't stand before and have toppled over and sizzled on the floor like bacon. But, you know, that doesn't happen in every service, and it's not supposed to. You know, there's times where I've had, and the Bible talks about all these things. Now, I'm not going to go into all of them tonight because there's just a lot of teaching on it. But the Bible talks about speaking in other tongues. The Bible talks about, you know, the Bible talks about the presence of the Lord and how the effect that it has on the flesh. Praise God. But we want to bring some balance to this because it's very important for us to understand that we don't want to be too far in either ditch. You know, there's some churches that's all they do. They have people running around. They have people waving flags. They have people doing all kinds of things that aren't actually spiritual. They're all based out of the flesh, but they're dubbed spiritual. And this is why we have to be careful, but we want to rightfully divide the words, my wife said, and we want to look at some things. So we're going to see some things tonight about living spiritually. And we have to know that this is something that God, it's not just something that God has done for us as a gift, but it's the way we are supposed to live. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's turn with me to Matthew 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. He's so good, so worthy. Matthew 11, I didn't see what time I started, so I'm going to just look right now. So praise the Lord. I can start from right now because that was the introduction. That's not part of the preaching, amen. Matthew 11, verses 28. We're going to read through verse 30, hallelujah. Matthew 11, 28. Glory to God. There we are. Come to me, this is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That word souls is not spirit. That's not the same. Sometimes people mix that up. That word, most of the time when you see that word souls in the Bible, it is translated your mind. So we understand there actually is, we are a three-part being. I'm not going to preach on that tonight either, but we are a three-part being. We live in a body. We have a spirit, we are a spirit. We live in a body, and we have a mind. Hallelujah. The mind is what we think. That's our emotions and our thinking. Hallelujah. And so that's what he's talking about. You'll find rest for your souls, rest for your mind. Amen. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The reason that many Christians never find rest is because they never learn to live according to the Spirit. They try to do life just based in their flesh, just by what they feel, just in their soul, just in their mind, just what they can conjure up. They never contact that spiritual side of God or the spiritual side of the Word, and that's why they don't find the rest that they're seeking. Jesus promised us rest. He said, come to me, and you, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? Praise the Lord. He said, take my yoke upon you. And that's very important. See, because if we want the rest, we have to take the Lord's yoke upon us. What is a yoke? A yoke is something we know, oxen, you know, when they want to plow a field back in the olden days. Now they just use a tractor. They don't use the yokes anymore. But if you watch the Amish, maybe they'd still do it. But they'd take oxen and they would put this big, heavy wooden apparatus around their necks, and it tied them together. It was called a yoke, amen? And what do we know about a yoke? If one oxen was going this way, then the other one had to too. Because they couldn't go in two different directions, amen? They had to go in the same direction. It's very important to understand that. Jesus didn't just haphazardly pick that word. He didn't just wasn't preaching there, looked out into the field, got distracted by a couple of oxen out there and said, hey, I'm going to just say yoke just because it sounds good. No, he said things with purpose on purpose, amen? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Praise the Lord. Yoke yourself together with Jesus and learn what he does. You know, we have another scripture. I think we might be getting into it later on. But we have another scripture that says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You know, it's important that we be led by the Spirit, but we can't do that if we're going off and doing our own thing. This is where Christians fail. But you see, Christians in Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build it. You see, and I love what I've always been taught about this, that you notice the house still gets built, but they've labored in vain, the ones who did it. See, the same thing as our lives. Unless the Lord builds our lives, unless we build it on His principles and with His direction, praise God, it's going to be off. See, this is why we don't pick the church that we go to. Praise the Lord. What do you say? Well, I picked to come here. Yeah, but at some point you have to decide, is this where God has me or not? And if it's where God has you, then you don't have a choice anymore. Praise the Lord. Not because I said so, but because the Lord says so. God didn't make us church hoppers. Amen. Now, if we're not getting fed somewhere, obviously we can, you know, God is good with us moving, but we should seek the Lord and find out where He wants us. You know what I mean? But that's an important thing. See, there's got this idea in the body of Christ that you can go anywhere you want and do whatever you want to do. But see, that's not freedom in Christ. That's not what God intended for it to be. God still has a direction. He said, be yoked to me. Not me, but Him. Amen. And He's going to take us. If He's going to yoke us to Him, He's going to take us where He wants us. He's going to plant us where He has us. Amen. But so many Christians, they're not spiritual enough. They make fleshly decisions. Well, I didn't like the music today, so I don't want to go there. I don't like that they do this, or I don't like that they do that. I don't like. Amen. And see, when they make decisions just based on the flesh, listen, your flesh is what brought you here. There'll be days, like the first time you came here, you inevitably came from your flesh. Yeah. Amen. Most people have not sought the Lord, and I include myself in this, most people have not sought the Lord long enough to know what is good for them or what is not. Most people went somewhere because, hey, you know, someone said, hey, this is a good place to be, you should come try it out. Say, oh yeah, maybe I will. When they're there, then the Lord will connect with them, praise the Lord, and will draw them in and stuff like that. And well, that's a lot of times why people come back. But you know, Jesus wants to yoke us to Him. He wants us to follow Him. But unless we follow Him, unless we do His word, unless we know what His Spirit is. See, there's churches that don't really believe that God's Spirit leads you so much anymore, in the sense that He speaks to you or He guides you. But that's what the whole New Testament is based around. The whole New Testament is based around the idea that Jesus would come and save us. He would pay the price. He was going to show us how to live. Then He was going to die for our sins, right? And then when He was going to die, He promised us something. He promised us His Holy Spirit. And He said, I'm sending this Holy Spirit to be with you forever. He told us that. And then when the Holy Spirit's with you, He's going to lead you and guide you. That's His whole purpose. It's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead us and guide us. And yet people reject the Holy Spirit. And when I say reject it, you know, people say, oh, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they don't really do anything with the Holy Spirit. They just use Him as part of the personage of God, but they don't necessarily connect with that there's actually a purpose to Him. Yeah. You know, when the Old Testament speaks about God, they were dealing a lot with God the Father. Amen? Yeah. And there was interaction, wasn't there? There was interaction between God and His prophets, and he would speak to the people through prophets, and He did this and that. And Moses, he met with face to face, glory to God. And so we understand that God had interaction, right? Praise the Lord. And then in the next part of the Bible, we see Jesus come. So God is interacting with people, and then He sends Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came to the earth, He lived here, and He interacted with us, right? He talked with people, He walked with people, He taught people, He showed them what to do. And then Jesus said, everybody say it with me, Jesus said. Well, when Jesus says it, we need to listen, right? Praise the Lord, because He's a word. So Jesus said, I have to go. Because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I go, the Holy Spirit will come, and He's going to remain with you forever. Right. Praise the Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit, He has a purpose. Now, why would we think that two-thirds of the Bible, or two-thirds of what God did, is he dealt with man, He interacted with man, but the last third, He isn't going to interact with him anymore. Why would we think that? But see, religion has made it be, because what has happened is the religious leaders have gotten away from the word and the truth and spiritual living, and so they don't understand the Holy Spirit anymore. They don't understand interaction between them. I talked to other pastors. When we got this church, praise the Lord, we bought this building and all the contents they had left in here, praise the Lord, there wasn't anything good. Yeah. Amen. Left in here. Yeah, like everything we had to throw out. Praise the Lord, because there was a bunch of garbage and stuff. Except for this, yeah, this carpet remained. Hallelujah, this stage. Praise the Lord for it. All the fans were in here too, but everything else was changed. So anyway, but one of the things we found was a book on how to plant churches. Yeah. So they had this book on how to plant churches, planted a church, and it didn't last. Why? Because they built it according to man's rules. They didn't build it. See, if God plants a church, it doesn't close down. I said, if God does it, it doesn't close down. God doesn't plant church with the purpose of it closing down. Amen? God didn't just, he isn't trying things. He knows. God does things specifically. But see, when you do things according to the flesh, you won't know that. Most churches are doing things according to the flesh. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not saying all churches. I didn't say all churches are bad. I'm saying most churches. Excuse me. Most churches. They are doing things according to the flesh. I'm not trying to knock people. I'm not saying they're bad people, great Christian people, but they're doing it according to the flesh. How do we know? Praise the Lord. I was talking to a pastor today. My wife and I were talking to a precious pastor today. Just bought a church building and is dealing with some of the former church members that used to go to the old church. And now they're part of his church, but it's a different church. And they bought the building. And they're coming in there saying, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. He's like, no, we don't do things like the old church did. Amen? We do things differently here. People got to get used to that. Churches are run by committee. We don't run church by committee here. Praise the Lord. Why don't we not? Because God never did. God never led his people by committee. You can have every committee you want, but I'm going to tell you, when you run things by committee, you get what the Israelites got. No promised land. They didn't get to go in because by committee they said, we can't go in there. Only a few said they could, and those few went in. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it's the truth. You could trust it or not, but it's the Bible, amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know how you got me on all that, but praise the Lord. God wants us, he wants to lead us to a place of rest. He wants us to be in a place of peace. That's what God desires for us. If you are a Christian and you don't live in a place of rest and peace, then you are not living spiritually. Praise the Lord. I am not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you're a bad Christian. I'm saying you haven't been taught right. Because once we're taught right, we learn how to live spiritually, put the flesh down, and then the flesh isn't going to bother us anymore. It'll try. I'm not saying it won't try. I'm not saying we won't have opposition. Of course we will. But we need to learn to live according to Scripture, according to the Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. This came to me. I was praying on the way here. And this came to me as I was driving here. Quite often, the direction of the Lord will take you, Quite often, the direction the Lord will take you in has less to do with his will and more to do with yours. Our hindrances and delays are often a result of what we have to see. Oftentimes, God wants, he has this plan for us to be from here to there, point A to point B. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. God wants us blessed. He wants us, a full supply. I don't care what you say, you can't argue that with Scripture. You can never show me in Scripture that God wants you poor. You'll never find it in Scripture. It says it nowhere in Scripture. But I can show you Scripture after Scripture after Scripture where God wants you fully supplied with enough left over so you can give into every good work. That's what the Bible says. Read Philippians 4:19. Praise the Lord if you don't believe me. Read Proverbs 10:22. Praise God. Hallelujah. Read how God dealt with the Israelites. And then that, and how in Hebrews, I think it's 8:4 or something around there, it says that we have been given a better covenant with the better promises. Go back and read Deuteronomy 28:1-14, and then come back to me with Hebrews and understand that God wants more for you than he wanted for them. And tell me that God doesn't want you blessed. I am not saying that God's going to make us all millionaires and that we're all going to be driving Lambos, hallelujah, and we're going to... That's not what I'm saying. I didn't say that. But I'm going to tell you right now, poverty is of the devil. It's a trap of the devil to get you bound. Hallelujah. That's exactly what the purpose of poverty is. Poverty has no place in the kingdom of God. How do we know that? Because God paved the streets of gold, streets of heaven with gold. Hallelujah. When God said build a temple, he said make the walls gold, pure gold. Not 14 karat gold. Not with a little bit of silver mixed in. I want it 24 karat gold. That's in your the scripture. That's what God wanted. It said that the Bible, or that the gates of heaven are two giant pearls carved out of one single pearl. Do you know how expensive one little pearl is? Do you know how much a pearl this big, if you could even get one, would be? What about a pearl that's the size of a gate? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God uses gold as pavement. Okay, praise the Lord. God isn't, poverty is not in God's handbook. Praise the Lord. Look how God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. He didn't put them in the swamp out back. There wasn't a such thing as a swamp, was there? How did the garden look like? That was God's will and purpose for man. I don't know how you're getting me on this, but praise the Lord, it's good. That was God's will for man, I said. And it didn't change. His will didn't change. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:32 says, if he gave us Jesus, how will he not with him give us all things? What's all things? All things. I don't know anything that's not included in all things. I'm thankful for that scripture. But let me read this to you again. Quite often, the direction of the Lord will take you, the Lord will take you in, has less to do with his will and more to do with yours. Our hindrances and delays are often a result of what we have to see. Sometimes, even though God wants you from point A to point B, he has to take you through all these other paths because you have to understand something. Because you have to learn to see something. God wants us to understand him. He wants us to understand him spiritually. And if he is not opposed of keeping you out of the promised land for 40 years, if that's what it takes to get you to understand his goodness. If it's going to take you that to start having trust in him, then that's what he'll do. He'll allow you to stay in the wilderness for a time. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to talk about sonship through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans 8:12. So we see that we want to take his yoke upon us. Praise the Lord, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's what he wants for us. Amen? And he wants us to find rest, right? Didn't we see that? So Romans 8:12. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:12. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to find it too. We're going to read through verse 17. Hallelujah. 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I'm going to stop for a second because I want to talk to you about this. Amen. We have to live according to the flesh. When you're hungry, you have to eat. Amen? When you're tired, you have to sleep, right? It's not talking about that stuff. Amen? It's not talking about just the natural things that we do. But what he's talking about here, he's not simply talking about living, the scripture would be a lie, because there's many people who live just according to the flesh. Amen? You know, because it also said in verse 13 that if you live according to the flesh, you'll die, right? There's many people out in the world that aren't dying that are living according to the flesh, right? But this word living, we have to understand what that really means, amen? If you look up that word living in the Greek, the original language, which is not, I'm not some Greek scholar, but I have a concordance that any of you can get, amen? This is what it means. It means to enjoy real life, to have true life and worthy of the name, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God. See, a lot of people think that salvation is for when you die, but salvation is for when you die to yourself. In other words, when you get born again. We get salvation, we get saved the day we accept Jesus, right? Does anyone doubt that? Praise the Lord. But so many people, we used to sing songs about it, right? Back in church, back in the old days, we used to sing songs about, like, you know, in the sweet by and by, and when this life is over. But salvation starts when you get born again. Your spiritual life starts when you get born again. The day you accept Jesus, that's where the game changes. But see, so many Christians, their game doesn't change. They receive Jesus, and then they go on living the same way they always did. That's what the scripture is talking about. It. You are not enjoying life that is worthy of the name. How do I know? Because when I got born again when I was about 14 years old, and from the time I was 14 years old to the time I was 28 years old, I went through absolute hell on earth. I mean, the worst things happened to me between that and that 14-year period. The worst things. I had horrible things happen to me. And you would think, wait a minute here. That's not living life. But see, I wasn't taught. I wasn't taught how to live according to my spirit. I only knew how to live according to the flesh. I only knew how to appease the flesh. This is why people sin. Because they only live according to the flesh. This is why Christians who are blood-bought still fall into sin and condemnation. Because they only live according to the flesh. Praise the Lord. We need the Spirit. We need to learn to live spiritually, because when we learn to live spiritually, then we get to put down the flesh. It's easier to put down the flesh, and then we can really start stepping into that life that God has for us, because God has a good life for us. He has a life. Jeremiah 29:11. Oh, dear Jesus, read that scripture over and over. Get it in you, and get it so in you that every single time somebody says that God doesn't want something good for you, that's what comes out of you. That God has a plan for you, and it's blessed. Hallelujah. Listen, blessing is not, it doesn't mean something different than it did back then. Blessing still means God wants to do something good. Hallelujah. If I bless you, you get happy if you got blessed. Amen. If I blessed you with money, would you not smile? If I walked up to you, or anybody else walked up to you and handed you $1,000, would you not smile? Would you not feel blessed? Amen? On a nice sunny day when you're with your family and there's nothing else going on, and then everything, the birds are chirping and the temperature is just right, the sun's shining and you got a convertible and you're at the beach, hallelujah, or wherever you like to be, don't you feel blessed? And blessed is the same that today as it was back then. Blessed is what God has made us to be. God has made us to be blessed, to feel blessed, to live blessed. Because in part, when we live and we feel that way, then the world sees something. They say, wait a minute, that person's living blessed. I want some of that. So they'll come to you and say, hey, why are you dressed nice today? Why are you dressed nice today? My wife was talking about that, right? I'm not just talking about the clothes you put on. I'm talking about the face that you walk around in. Praise the Lord. You know, I saw my grandma. My grandma was some of my spiritual upbringing. Praise the Lord. And she's still alive, but she doesn't drive anymore. But I remember one day I saw her driving. I saw her driving her. She had a, what was it? She had a Ford Crown Victoria back in the 80s. Big old car, you know. It was this huge, huge honking car. And here's my grandma driving. And I'll never forget. She didn't see me, but I was driving. I think I was working. I was driving for work. And I drive by her, and she's coming up around a bend. And she just smile, ear to ear. That picture has never left my mind, hallelujah. Smiling, she had no reason to smile. She was just driving. Nobody else was in the car. She didn't listen to comedy on the radio. She was just smiling. You know why? Because she knew the Lord. Because she knows the Lord, hallelujah. When you know God, when you know who your God is, and you have revelation of it spiritually, when you have it down inside of you, you don't not smile because you know who your God is, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, people aren't enjoying life because they don't know how to live spiritually. Now you may feel like, I'm a spiritual person. I pray. I read the word. I'm not saying you're not a spiritual person. But I'm saying you could be a spiritual person who's not living according to the Spirit. You can be a spiritual person who's living according to the flesh. How do I know that? Well, do you know any Christians? Yeah, right? You know a few Christians probably. You probably met a few. If not, just go downtown sometime when they have one of these events. You can find a few of them. Praise the Lord. Just because somebody's Christian doesn't mean there's going to be a smile on their face. In fact, I've seen all too often that most times Christians aren't the ones with smiles on their faces. And it's because they don't have understanding of some things. Now listen, I'm not saying that there can't be trial that come against you. There's trial against the Apostle Paul, but they sang praise, him and Silas, but they sang praises when they were thrown in jail. Listen, you don't sing praises when you're unhappy. And that's when the chains broke, praise the Lord, and fell off and the doors flew open. See, God has good things for us. But we have to believe it. We have to see it. We have to understand it. When we get into it, and we're only going to get there through getting into it and digging into the Word. See, I'm not just saying to put on a smile on your face. You can't do that. You can fake it for a little while, but you're not going to fake it forever. What you need is to learn how to do it spiritually. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we weren't done here. Yeah, I just had a little side journey. Praise God. Verse 14. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption of whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now let's think about this for a minute. I was meditating on this afternoon. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. Again, I have that word underlined in my Bible. There are so many people that act like they have just received. When you got born again, you received something. You received the Spirit of God to come on the inside of you and live with you forever, to abide with you forever. That's what happened. It is not the spirit of bondage. But you know something? Satan has a spirit of bondage. He's the one that will come with that and put that upon you. And if you don't know your authority, if you don't know how to take care of it, you will accept it and say, this is my lot in life. This is why Christians stay bound. Praise the Lord. Why do Christians stay sick? Because they confess their sickness instead of their healing. Why do Christians stay poor? Because they confess their poverty instead of their healing. There's Christians that get mad at other Christians that they see people with money. You know, here, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you get mad by people having money, you have no idea who your God is. You have no idea who your God is. Solomon, the wisest of all men other than Jesus, praise the Lord. God asked him, what do you want? What did Solomon ask for? He asked for wisdom to lead God's people, right? So what did God give him? Because he asked for wisdom. God said it. He said, because you have asked for this and not other things, I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you so stinking rich that there's going to be nobody after you that's going to be as rich as you are. Do you understand that? That's what God did. Now people will quote, they'll misquote scripture like they say, well, money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. Look up that scripture for me, will you, real quick? It says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's not even the root. So they get it mixed up on a whole bunch of levels. The love of money, 1 Timothy 6:10, praise the Lord. Let me flip there real quick and I'll read it to you. Praise God. Because we want to see this, right? We want to understand this. We got to rightfully divide the word. Praise the Lord. I get so excited, I flip right past it. There we are. I'll tell you this, Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:10. Hallelujah. It says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Listen, chasing money. That has nothing to do with wealth. I'm going to tell you this right now. Because I know this because I have been to the place of so dirt poor that I couldn't even afford to spell the letters. Hallelujah. I mean, I was so poor, I couldn't afford anything. If I had my kids over, I had to take them to my mom's house because I couldn't even afford to feed them. I didn't have heat in my apartment, praise the Lord. I had a $175 a month apartment and I couldn't afford to pay the bills. I had to borrow money from her all the time. Praise the Lord. I understand what poverty is. I know what it's actually like not to worry about how you're going to buy a gallon of milk for your kids because there was no money to buy a $2 gallon of milk. I know what that's like. That isn't of God. But I'm going to tell you something about poverty that a lot of people miss. Poverty-minded people are generally more focused on money. So this scripture applies to the dirt poor too, because all they're seeking is how to pay the next bill. That's all they're thinking about. They can't do this because they got to figure out how to pay the next bill. See, poverty mindset, that's a bondage that the devil places on you. That's not in scripture. God has no problem. Jesus told Brother Hagin, praise the Lord, and I can quote this because it backs up scripture with scripture. But Jesus told Brother Hagin when he was having an experience with him, he told him, he said, I don't mind my people being rich. I mind them being covetous. If you look through scripture, King David, a man after God's own heart, he was so stinking wealthy. He was the father of Solomon, right? And he was so wealthy. He was a king. He had everything he needed. Hallelujah, and more. He never lacked for anything. God is not against. We got to get this thinking. I wasn't planning on going this way, but I'm telling you, praise the Lord, some stuff here. Praise the Lord. See, poverty, my thinking, will keep you just as focused in coveting money. It's coveting money even if you don't have it. Because that's all you want. And what do people do? In this society, this is what this whole society is being transformed into, is we're making everybody covet other people's money. We're saying, oh, I got to get some of that. I deserve some of your money. No, you don't deserve anything but what the Bible says. And if you follow your God, he'll take you out of all kinds of poverty. One of the biggest problems is people are looking in everybody else's backyard, which is the very definition of coveting. If you're looking at someone else saying, I want what they have, you're coveting. If you're going after something somebody else has, whether it's by laws or rules or anything else, you are coveting. Why do you think Satan is trying to get people overdoing that? And people are just falling into it like fools. They say, well, you know, if you drive a nice car, you shouldn't drive a nice car. You shouldn't have. Why? Why does it really matter? Why does it matter if somebody has? See, what the truth of the matter is what the problem comes down to is most people just want what other people have and they're willing to take it at any cost. It's no different than walking in and robbing a bank. You're stealing something that doesn't belong to you by the hands of the government. It's no more righteous to do that. And they're trying to post this as being righteous, glory to God. And Christians are swallowing it up. I've seen Christians who will see a minister who's doing well. Listen, if you have a ministry where you reach 10 million people, you're probably, even if every person gave you a dollar, that's $10 million. It's a lot of money, isn't it? Listen, you can't bash somebody just because they have a lot of money, a minister or whatever, because they have a huge ministry. You don't want to carry the weight that they do. I'm just going to tell you that right now. There's most people that can't carry the weight of the local church, one local church. I'm going to tell you there's weight that comes with pastoring a church according to the Spirit. And that the people in the congregation, they don't carry that weight. The pastor carries that. How do I know that? Because I'm a pastor and I've been carrying the weight. Now I'm yoked to Jesus. So the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Hallelujah. I'm not complaining, saying, oh, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that most people, that, you know, we talk about faithfulness. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You know, some people don't like serving for 15 minutes after church to clean up the bathrooms or something. I'm going to tell you something about this. Hallelujah. How about being on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and never have it let up? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How about being on your vacation or something else and getting phone calls from people because their life is falling apart and now they need you? You see, I'm not putting it out there saying, oh, poor me. No, don't feel sorry for me because God's got me covered. Hallelujah. But I'm just saying that most people, they are so weak-minded, praise the Lord, because they don't know God enough. We need to be people that are spiritual and spiritual-minded because, listen, if you come in here and you've been struggling, if you come in here and you've been broken and hurting in mind and the devil's been oppressing you and you've been living this way, well, praise the Lord, you're going to get set free. Just as soon as you decide to connect to the Word. That's exactly what happened to me. Listen, I didn't have some great manifestation to change my life. When I came out of the past I came out of, I came into church with all my baggage with me. And the only thing that Jesus asked of me is to put it down. Just to let it go. Listen, you come in with baggage. What my first job is here is to teach you how to just put it down. Just put it down. Let it go. You ain't got to carry it no more. You are not who you were. And if you were up until today, well, it changes today. You're not that anymore. How do I know? Because the Bible says that He makes all things new. This is spiritual living. Hallelujah. He makes all things new. I don't care what you did before. Reverend Greer, who was just in our church, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. They were not going to let him out. Today, he has a full pardon, government pardon, a full pardon to the point where he can even own guns, firearms, and he can vote, all the stuff that had been taken away from him. Why? Because he followed the Spirit of God. Don't talk to me about bondage. That man was bound in prison, life without the possibility of parole. This is not a lie. This is not a joke. This is the way it is. Hallelujah. God set him free. Because he followed the Lord. Because he learned how to live spiritually. Amen. Praise God. You can see how we can't do this all in one service. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants us full. He wants us blessed. Did I finish reading? I didn't even get through the scriptures I was reading yet. Praise the Lord. We did not receive the spirit of bondage. Notice that. We have to take this scripture seriously. Listen, if you are being bound, this is your first confession. When you leave here tonight, when devil tries to put that garbage back on, I don't care what you did. I don't care who you were. If you want to change, it's all over. It's all over. All that stuff, you put that baggage down. You leave it right here, we'll sweep up after you. Hallelujah. You just leave it right here, we'll sweep up. You walk out of here, and the devil tries to put that on, because you're going to walk out of here, you'll be by yourself. Maybe be with a spouse or something like that, but the devil tried to put it back on you. He said, uh-uh, no way, devil. I didn't receive a spirit of bondage. Again to fear, I receive the spirit of adoption by who we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Well, you think about, you know, maybe you had, I don't know if you had good parents, bad parents growing up. It didn't matter. You just know, if you had good parents or bad parents, you know what a good parent is, right? If you had a bad upbringing, you know what a good parent should do, right? And the first thing that they should do is love, right? Is there anybody who disagrees with that? If you do, just raise your hand. We'll have to talk you down afterwards. But we know, everybody knows what a good parent should act like. So there's the first thing, we have no excuse, right? When a good parent is someone you can go to and you can say, Daddy, help me. A good dad, a good father is one you say, Daddy, help me. I need help here. You know, that's how I go before my Lord sometimes. Listen, when you talk to her, you ain't gonna get all fancy. You gotta get all crazy and be all religious and get on your knees and fold your hands, stuff like that. You gotta talk to God. You just go to God and you say, Daddy, help me. Right there. That's what it means. Put that scripture back up there for me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Spirit of adoption by who we cry out, Abba. We've been adopted. When you get adopted, you get all the rights that children got. We have some family that adopted some kids. When they adopted those kids came into the household. Guess what they got? Everything that any other kids would have got. Hallelujah. That's exactly what they get. Why? Because they're adopted. Adoption, you get the same rights. It looks at you. Why do you think the Bible uses the word adoption? Because that's exactly what happened to you. You've been adopted in. So we got to live differently now. We cry out, Abba, Father. When it's too hard, we cry out to Daddy. Lord, this is where I need. This is what I need. This is how I need help. Hallelujah. And He'll help you. But He's going to help you through His Word. He will help you through His Spirit, but we also will find out His Word is Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. So, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now look at this verse 17. This is really awesome. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. What are the sufferings of Christ? I don't know if I preach this here or in Mayville, but it doesn't matter. We'll talk about it real quick. The sufferings of Christ in the Bible, what are they? When you look through the sufferings of Christ, it was people coming against Him because of His faith. It was people railing against Him because of what He believed. It was people saying that He wasn't who He said He was. It was all these things, the persecution that came as a result of being spiritual. You never see Jesus sick. Yeah, anybody remember a scripture talking about the sickness that Jesus had? You ever see the scripture that talked about the poverty of Jesus? No, you didn't. You think you did, but you didn't, because there isn't one. Praise the Lord. In fact, we know through scripture, if you actually read scripture, you'll know that Jesus had more than enough. More than enough all the time. How do we know that? Well, when He needed to feed about 10,000 people, wasn't just 5,000 people. This is one of those Bible things I like to correct, those Bible misunderstandings. Because the Bible says 5,000 men plus the women and children. Okay, so if there's 5,000 men, it would be right to think that there's at least double that with the women and children. So God, Jesus was actually, when He was splitting the loaves and the fish, He was actually feeding about 10,000 people or more. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And even if there was another 1,000 people, it's still more than 5,000. 5,000 is still a lot. Amen. But what did Jesus do? He knew what to do. He knew who His God was. And so the miracle happened and He fed the people. Now, how could a man that could feed thousands and thousands of people from just a few loaves and fish, how could he be poor? How could you call him poor? You can't, right? I mean, is there anybody that disagrees with that? Seriously, how can you call a man who had everything? The Bible said he did all things well. Have you ever known somebody who does all things well? I haven't, but I've known a few people that do a lot of things well, and I always know that when they do things well, they generally don't go without. If you were a carpenter or whatever trade you were in, if you're a good carpenter, praise the Lord, generally speaking, you're going to do well. How do I know? My grandpa was a good carpenter. He never advertised. He was in business for over 40 years, never advertised once, and he never went without work. But he was a phenomenal carpenter. Amen. And people still want him today. He's in his age trying to retire. He can't stop. Never advertised a day in his life. Didn't even have a business name. Just had his name, a phone number in the phone book, maybe. That was it. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. But you understand we may be stepping on some sacred cows here, but see, it's the mentality. We have to think right about the Lord, or we'll never, if we don't think right, listen, if we just believe what we've always believed, because that was a religious thing to believe, we're never going to get the spiritual side of things because we're not believing the Word. We have to go to the Word. That's why my wife is preaching this message coming up about women ministers, because we have to get what the Word says on it. You know what's interesting about the whole thing? If you actually do a historical search in Scripture about women, you'll find out something very interesting. And that's that Satan hates them probably more than anybody. And you know why Satan hates women so much? Because it was through woman that Jesus came into this earth. And so the Bible tells us, if you remember reading back there about Adam and Eve, and one of the things, the curses that came on Eve as a result of the sin, was that that Satan was always going to be after her, right? So why do you think Satan's worked his way into the churches? Yeah. Sure. Preaching false doctrine. Churches preaching that God wants you sick. God wants you destroyed. Yeah. Listen, if you want to still believe that stuff, you go ahead and believe it. But you're not going to like this place because we aren't going to teach that garbage. We teach the Bible. Praise the Lord. You know what's interesting about teaching the Bible? This is something I found out from doing it just 4 years. Teaching the Word for just 4 years, there'll be people that'll still leave you because they don't want to hear what you're saying. It's in the Bible. It's in here. It's written right here. It's in black and white. Jesus made it plain. It's not something that's difficult for us to understand. We can open the Bible and you can find exactly what he says on all these subjects. But people, because of their religion, and Jesus even talks about that in here. He said, all too well, you would rather have your tradition than obey the commandments of God. You would rather have the things that you thought you knew than the truth of the Word. He said it to the Pharisees. And people still are the same way. They're still believing the same garbage. Praise God. Hallelujah. You get me fired up. Praise the Lord. We're talking about living spiritually. We want to live according to what Scripture says. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at what it says here. We are joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I remember religion that taught the sufferings of Christ. What does it mean to suffer for Jesus? See, people make stuff up. What does the Bible say? The sufferings of Christ. He tells us what they are. He tells us what he went through. Even the sufferings of Paul. You know, some people try to say that Paul, the thorn in the flesh, was him being sick, having some kind of sickness. Except the Bible tells us what a thorn in the flesh is. It tells us right there, and it has nothing to do with sickness at all. It has everything to do with a demonic spirit that harassed him. Yeah. Harassment is of the devil, and that is part of the sufferings of Christ. Yeah. Paul didn't know what harassment was. But Paul was also the one who said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19. I told you to read it earlier. I just told you now. Amen. He's the same one who said that. Amen. The Apostle Paul was the one who always knew how to get what he needed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Jesus did too. That was another thing about Jesus. Peter came to Jesus and said, Master, they want us to pay taxes. He said, go fishing. When you get that fish, he said, get in its mouth. Now, you got to ask yourself this. You're going to open its mouth and you're going to pull out a coin. You're going to pay your taxes and you're going to pay my taxes too. Well, you know, I've known people that have been poor and can't pay taxes on something. Amen? You ever known somebody like that? It's been in trouble with the tax man? But Jesus knew how to do it. Jesus knew how to get the tax money paid. How did he know? Is it because God makes certain rich fish? No, it had nothing to do with that. What it has to see, that was the miracle and the way that it happened. The way that God did it was Jesus had a relationship, spiritual relationship with the Father. He heard from the Holy Spirit all the time because he sought him. He knew how to live spiritually. He didn't live according to the way it looked. He lived according to the way God taught him. And the Lord spoke to him on the inside probably and said, there's a fish in there. Go tell Peter to get the fish. And can you imagine Jesus? I mean, think about this. If you have a spouse, if not, just pretend you did. Praise the Lord. And your spouse comes up to you and says, "We got to pay taxes," because all of you can relate to what I'm about to say. You say, "We don't have any money for taxes. We got to pay our taxes." And so, well, let me go pray about it. Most people won't even say that because the other person think they're goofy, right? Let me go pray about it. When was the last time you did something? You said, hey, let me go pray about it first. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But that's what we need to do, right? So you go pray about it. And you're sitting there, you're on your hands and knees praying like a good Catholic girl, good Catholic guy. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I just know a lot of people that were Catholic. I was never Catholic. But, you know, they had to get down just like this. And they had to, you know, they had to bend and stoop down and pray. You can pray anywhere you are. If you're driving, don't bend down. Close your eyes because you'll crash. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? You can still pray to God in the car. You know what I mean? You ain't got to be rubbing a cross or a lucky rabbit's foot, you know, beatery or anything like that. Praise the Lord. You can just follow God. Hallelujah. But so you go pray. You go into your prayer closet. You pray. You ain't got to have a prayer closet either. Amen. I know the movies like to say you do, but I mean, it's nice to set aside a place to pray. I'm not saying that, but it doesn't have to be a closet to get the power of God. Amen. You just talk to God between you and him. Amen. So at any rate, you go to your prayer place and you start praying to God and you're getting in real good and you're in there for 4 hours and the only thing you got is to go fishing. So you come back out, you say, all right, honey, this is what the Lord told me to do. We got to pay our taxes. He said to go fishing. You probably wouldn't even say that because you'd think it's foolish. Yeah. But what did Jesus do? Go fishing. You think it sounded any less foolish 2,000 years ago? No, because they still know too that the fish don't normally have gold pieces in their mouth. Right? This isn't like, see, we have to understand the way that this is, you know. Praise the Lord. We have to understand what was going on there. Jesus had faith, but he was spiritual. He heard. Amen? But at the same time, the Bible does not instruct us to go fishing every time we need money. Right? The Bible tells us to follow God. Because as many as are led by the Lord, praise the Lord, by his Spirit, right? These are the children of God. These are the heirs. These are the ones who receive the joint heirs with Christ. The same things that Christ. This is how you start joining yourself with God, is looking at things the way that he does. No, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're done with those scriptures. We're going to move on to 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Praise the Lord. This is one of those days where I really wish I brought my hanky. It's warm up here. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. Hallelujah. Thanks, buddy. 1 Corinthians 2, 6. I found it. It's good. I found it. We're going to read through verse 16. However, when we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. So that's the first thing we have to understand. This applies today too. That the wisdom of this age, the things that people think they know, it's going to end. Yeah. Listen, everything is cyclical, right? Everything goes in cycles. Weather patterns go in cycles. Whims of society go in cycles. Yeah. Today, it's unreal to even think that it's bad to be a homosexual. That it's not a good thing. The Bible says it. It's always said it. Praise the Lord. 50 years ago, not so much. Go back to 1,500 years ago, you go to ancient Greece, they thought it was okay. You know what I'm saying? It's sick. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible tells us. All these things are going to just come, and it's all going to come to pass. It's going to fall by the wayside. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it is bad, but we have to understand we're not going to get moved by all this stuff. Amen? We're going to stick with the word. Amen. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Okay, this is an interesting scripture. There's so many people, have you ever heard it said, that God works in mysterious ways? This is one of those things I love to pounce on. No, he doesn't. The Bible says he doesn't. How do we know this? Well, because look at this scripture here. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. If we were speaking a mystery, is the mystery still a mystery? No, because now you know, right? Don't you know, like, before you see that movie, that big hot movie that's coming out, you know what I'm talking about? You know, everybody wants to see it, and they go. Some people go to the theaters, right? They're in line, and they got to go see it, you know. And something happens in that movie, and you're like, man, I wasn't expecting that twist. And you go home, and you start telling your friends about the movie, and then you tell them the plot. They know what happened, right? And then now they're mad because you told them what happened in the movie. Well, we're not going to get mad because we know the wisdom of God isn't going to make us mad. It's going to reveal some things to us. And so we don't have to live in misery anymore. Amen? Praise the Lord. which God ordained before the ages for our glory. I love that. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they understood what they were doing when they put Jesus on the cross, they wouldn't have been putting Jesus on the cross. Now, I want to pose a question to you today about this. Verse 8. Would Christians crucify Jesus today? They do every day by rejecting his Spirit. Every day. Because this is what Jesus left us with. Christians who hear the word preached and they say, I don't know if I can go that far. I don't know if I can believe all this. They're rejecting, crucifying Jesus. They're saying that what he said doesn't matter, what he did doesn't matter. Jesus died to give us the Holy Spirit. He died to give us the Holy Spirit. And yet Christians have no idea what the Holy Spirit is, what he does, what he's for. No idea. They think he's just part of some poem. They think he's just part of some prayer. They think he's just like, they understand. They're not acquainted with the Holy Spirit. God was always acquainted with his people, always. He always made sure of that. Why would we think it'd be any less today? The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, is living on the inside of us. We are his temple. When you research the temple of God, the Holy of Holies, the curtain that was ripped when Jesus died on the cross, it was symbolic of something because the Holy of Holies was a place where the Spirit of God was, and only the priests could go in there, and only at a certain time of the year. But when Jesus died, that Holy of Holies was torn apart and that Spirit came to live on the inside of us. He said, "You are the temple of the Holy Ghost." And yet people don't know who's inside them. They have no idea. There's so many Christians that have no idea what this Holy Spirit is. When was the last time you had to ask the Holy Spirit to direct you or guide you? When was the last time you heard in church to have the Holy Spirit direct you or guide you? Yeah, it's something that we have to ask ourselves. Why would Jesus put so much importance on the Holy Spirit to write chapter after chapter after chapter in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit and to have us just completely deny it? There's no other things. People have, they have things in churches that there's almost no scripture for. And yet, do you know the baptisms, baptism in water? It's good. We're not against it. We're going to do that here. We're going to get people wet if they want to be baptized. Amen. So baptisms in water, there's only just a very few scriptures about it. There's not like chapters about baptism in water. There's only a few scriptures on what baptism in water even is. So there's just a little bit about that. There are chapters about the Holy Ghost, the work of the Holy Ghost in the church, his effect on us, and what we're supposed to see as a result. And yet people are like, they don't want it. They reject it. There's religions that say that we're evil because of what we believe. There are people that believe that what I believe, we're going to hell because we believe what we believe. We believe the Bible. How can you go to hell believing the Bible? How can you go, oh, praise God, hallelujah. It's a travesty. But you see how the devil has gotten in the church. You see how he's confused people. Praise God. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. I want to get to the end because this is so important. I'm not even going to get there. Hallelujah. But and I'm not going to try to rush it. We got some other services if we need to. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I love this, because people always take the scripture out of context to see, no, it hasn't entered into the eye of man or heart of man. They don't know what God has prepared. Read verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. He's revealed what he has through his Spirit. When you read the Word and you get revelation in the Word and something pops out at you that you never saw before, that you never understood before, that you never got before, and you're like, by God, I got it. When you're hearing the Word preached and you're seeing it on the page and you're like, by God, I'm getting it. Something is changing. Something is different. He's revealing it on the inside of you. That is the Holy Spirit. And we are to be so well acquainted with the Holy Spirit that we hear from him all the time. Christians don't know how to live spiritually. They don't know what spirit the Spirit even is. And yet the Bible says that he will reveal these things to us. Look at, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received... We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that there's a purpose in it, we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. The Spirit is the one on the inside of us that is to bear witness of the things that are free, but people don't want to hear from the Spirit, so they don't know what God has from them, and they're saying that everything the devil's handing over to them, because that's all they want to believe, is just what the world says, what the world sees, what the flesh sees. They just believe the devil all the time, and they say, well, God must want bad for me. God doesn't want nothing bad for you. He did not kill his son or allow his son to be killed upon the cross so you wouldn't have good things. He who has given us his Son, how would he not with him give us all things? Romans 8:32. How will he not with him give us all things? Christians, we need to consider these things. We need to start changing our thinking. We need to change how we look at God, how we feel about God, how we read his Word. When we start realizing, I have it written in the front of my Bible, it says my mirror, when we realize that this is a reflection of us, that this is our mirror, that this shows us who we are in Christ, this shows us what we have in our inheritance, this is our lead. It's called the New Testament for a reason. You remember when people die, they get a will, and they have a will and testament, last will and testament? This is the New Testament given to us by God for us. To give us direction, to give us guidance, to know Him, to know what we have, and know what is the devil's. But Christians are not, they don't know, they take what the devil gives them all the time. They take it all the time. I hate seeing Christians in bondage and poverty. And I don't just mean poverty and being poor, but poverty thinking, where they're just, where everything is like, is less. You know what poverty thinking really is? It really is bondage, but it's just thinking less of everything. Yeah. Thinking less than everything. I have met pastors who won't even call themselves pastor because they're afraid of what people think, because they don't want to make themselves say, well, if you preach the word, you ain't magnifying yourself. I don't magnify myself. I know that I have nothing unless I received it from God. But I know what I received from God. And I know that I stand before you today as a testimony of what God can do and what God does do. Because God took a life that was in the gutter and made me somebody who could stand before people and preach the gospel with truth and boldness and with knowledge that He is true. With example of He does change lives, that He makes it different, that He makes it better. And I'm not where I'm going, but glory to God, I am not where I was. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you here, I'm standing before you today as proof positive that God does good things and He wants great things and He wants them in this town, because we would not be here unless God wanted them here. God wants us to be, He wants this town to be blessed. And that's why He sent us here. Not because we're the blessing, but because we carry the blessing. We are bringing the word to people who need the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's what we do in Mayville. And it's why lives are changing there. It's why we see cancer healed. Listen, you cannot believe it. And you cannot have it. But we've seen it. It isn't something in our minds that doesn't happen. It's something we know God does. I've seen people that have been brought out of depression. I've seen many people, depression broken off them, living lives they could have never lived. People off of medications, people that aren't going to counselors anymore. All these things because of the Word of God. Because God does. I've seen it in my life and I've seen it in others. In fact, it may be one of the greatest things that we've seen in our churches. My wife and I, it's part of our ministry. I've seen people going from nothing, having nothing, to having. And I'm not just talking about stuff, I'm talking about blessed life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've seen people that only rented before that now own houses. Praise the Lord. Only drove beaten up cars that now drive nice ones. People who tithe, people who give, people who serve. Don't tell me it don't work. Don't tell me it don't work. You can believe it don't work, but then you're just going to keep going without. Sooner or later, we have to believe what the Word says. You know, the Bible says, again, and I can't finish my message tonight because I'm way over time now, but the Bible tells us, you know, we have a New Testament, a New Covenant, and an Old Covenant, a New Promise and an Old Promise. The new promise tells us something really interesting about the old promise, that we have everything that it had and more. Amen. You can be a Christian that claims that this all passed away, this Old Testament. Listen, we're not under bondage of the law if we live according to Christ. I'm not saying that we have to live according to the law. That's not what I'm saying at all. But the directions in it, praise the Lord. I ain't going to throw away Psalms. I'm not going to throw away Proverbs. I'm not throwing away Malachi 3:10 because you know what? My wife and I have been tithing now faithfully. We gave over 30% of our income last year. We gave my entire pay last year, more than gave it to the church, gave it to people, praise the Lord. We still have more than we've ever had. Why? Because God is true to His word. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour in your bosom." What is the activation of that scripture? Give and it'll be given to you. You don't get it by not giving. The same thing is with everything with God. You don't get by not giving. If you're not going to give yourself to the Word, you're not going to have the things the Word has. If you're not going to give yourself to God, you're not going to have the things God has. If you want the life of God, then you need to get in hooked up with God and just do what He says. Yeah, I'm not talking about finance. I'm just talking about everything. All of it. God can have anything in my life. That's why my family all serves. Praise the Lord. That's why we come down on a Saturday night. Why? We don't get paid for it. We come down because we love God. And this is the direction of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're happy to do it. See, my point in saying all this is when you find a, when you start learning how to live spiritually, when you start learning how to put down the flesh, life changes. And listen, if you haven't done it, you can start anytime. Start right now. If you're not ready to do it now, well, then just start tomorrow. Praise the Lord. It'd be better if you started now, but if you got to start tomorrow, start tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying go out, live in sin one more night, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Some people, it takes a minute to get it. Amen? If we take a minute to get it, I'm a person that takes a minute to get it sometimes. Well, if you got to take a minute to get it, take a minute to get it, and then go with it. Amen? Get it once you got it, and then go with it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Easy for me to say. Hallelujah.